Welcome to the Digital Story Show, new tools for the creative mind. The Digital Story Show takes you inside with tips for the creative pursuit of photography, music, video, hardware, software, techniques, and hacks. You'll soon find yourself thinking less about buttons and menus and more about expressing the artist inside us all. Now the Digital Story Show with Derek Story.
June 6, 2006, the Digital Story Show with Derek Story. Today's topic, vacation packing. Well, I've got lots of fun stuff to talk about today. I'm in a good mood. It's the day before my birthday, so I'm thinking about, you know, camera goodies and things like that. Maybe I'll get a little knickknack or two to celebrate what number is this? Ooh, well, we don't need to get into that right now. We'll talk about that later. So, okay, so it's June, and, you know, finally here in Northern California, the weather has started to warm up a little bit. I think we have most of the rain behind us. I'm sure we'll have a little bit more, but I think for the most part now, can start thinking about, packing up the camera gear and going places and taking pictures and, putting to use all this good stuff we've been talking about. So I thought I'd go into a little bit about that right now in today's show to help you make sure that you pack accordingly and that you're ready to go wherever you go. So let me see. Let's break this up into, let's start with the actual cameras themselves and talk a little bit about bags and stuff, and then we'll get into some tips, in terms of, little goodies to make sure that you bring along with you. Now, in the camera realm, whenever you're traveling, I like to think big and small, big and small. Now, this is, of course, if you have, lots of equipment to choose from. If you only have one camera, then, this section probably won't mean a whole lot to you, although you could kind of listen and salivate a little bit and think about maybe, some of the things you might get in the future. But here's when I go, I like to do, I like to prepare for both, what I call my serious photography, and then I always like to be ready for candids and grab shots and stuff like that. So the first thing on my list that I do is I think about, what two cameras or so am I going to bring. Now, always, 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 you want to bring your compact camera with you. That's the starting point for all photo travel, is that you want to have a compact camera with you, and this is the thing that you'll have in your pocket or your backpack for everything you do, okay? If you take a walk to get something to eat, you have your compact camera with you. If you run to the store for something, if you just go out to get some fresh air, if you're just going to have a leisurely stroll to dinner, whatever you're doing, make sure you have your compact camera with you. Now, with your compact camera, a couple things to keep in mind. First of all, compact cameras usually have small batteries, right? Because they're small cameras, small batteries. So you'll need at least two batteries, the one that's in the camera, and then you'll need a spare. And don't forget your charger either. And always kind of, if you can, every morning or, before you take off for the day, fire up your compact and make sure that your battery's in good shape. And if you're just going for a stroll or something, a lot of times I don't bring my extra battery with me. If I'm going for a whole day trip, obviously I will. But I'll make sure that the other battery is in the charger and ready to go. So, one small camera, two batteries, and your charger. So there's a couple things for your list right there. Now, I like to bring a larger camera also. And a digital SLR, of course, is ideal if you have one. And this is the camera that you're going to bring for when you're going to, those prime spots, those places that, you've been looking forward to, that, you've done your homework before the trip, and you go, man, I really want to get a good shot of dot, dot, dot. So your big camera comes with you. Again, same deal. You're going to need an extra battery. Two extra batteries if you have it, and don't forget your charger. Okay, so you got two chargers, you got some extra batteries, you got two camera bodies, and when you're thinking about what lenses to bring for your digital SLR, make sure that you bring a you know, your general street shooting lens, which is usually a small zoom lens, something like an 18 to 55 or an 18 to 85, or if you're really lucky, even maybe a little longer focal length. Bring a long lens for those instances when you want to go for some wildlife or go for, you know, some long range shots. And then I would try to bring a fast lens too. Those are always really nice to have when you're on the road, because you never know when you're going to be in an existing light situation. If you've been listening to the podcast, you know what I mean by a fast lens. It's something like a 50 millimeter f1.8, a 35 millimeter f2, an 85 millimeter f1.8, something that has a large aperture. It's usually a fixed focal length, but it allows you to shoot in very low light because it gathers a lot of light, and you don't have to use a flash. Now, speaking of flashes, you know, a lot of times I don't bring an external flash with me if my digital SLR or one of my digital SLRs has a flash on it. For most things that I need on the road, if I'm not on assignment, if I'm just going on vacation or whatever, the little pop-up flash that comes with the digital SLRs, for the most part, will give me enough fill light in those situations that I need. And the problem with external flashes, I mean, they work great, but the problem with them is that they're bulky. I mean, they're you know, like the size of two or three compact cameras. You have to bring batteries for them. And a lot of times those batteries have a different charger, you know, if you're using NiCads or nickel metal hydrides. So, you know, then suddenly you're adding a whole lot of weight to your packing. And unless you know that you're going to need an external flash, unless you're doing some sort of portraiture or some sort of assignment where it's pretty clear an external flash is in the works, I would just leave it at home and go with the flash that's built on your camera. Now, the exception could be, of course, is like, for instance, if I were to take my Canon 5D with me, it doesn't have a pop-up flash on it. I usually bring the Rebel XT also, so that gives me a digital SLR with a pop-up flash. But if I was only going with the Canon 5D, then I would have some decisions to make. And a lot of that would be, you know, how much room can I afford, you know, for my camera gear? So external flash a lot of times stays at home. So if you're leaving the flash at home, then let's say that you have a little bit of extra room for tripod. This is the thing that I think that a lot of photographers leave behind when they go on a trip that I think you should bring with you. Now, it doesn't have to be the big old gigantic studio tripod sort of thing. There are a lot of compact tripods that are very nice that will fit inside of your suitcase. My little UltraPod 2 that I write about a lot on the Digital Story site is a tabletop tripod, but it also straps the poles and tree limbs and stuff. And so then actually the whole world becomes your tripod legs, and it doesn't take up a lot of space. But the reason why I'm pretty high on the tripod is because, you know, this is going back to those existing light shots and those night shots, those twilight shots with buildings where the lights are just coming on. You need something to steady the camera for these scenes. And a lot of times, you know, you just can't set it on top of, you know, a ledge or, you know, a balcony or something. Plus, it can be a little dangerous setting your camera on the edge of a balcony. So a little tripod that fits in your back pocket or that fits in your camera bag is a very handy thing. And I would opt for bringing that when you're traveling over something like an external flash. And for instance, the UltraPod 2 that I've talked about is actually weighs less and takes up less room in your camera bag than an external flash. And then there's memory cards and all that sort of storage. Now, a lot of times if you're getting away, if it's a vacation trip, then you might not necessarily want to take your laptop with you, because if you're anything like me, if you're, you know, the laptop means work. Even if I don't mean to work, if I bring the laptop, if I have internet connection, next thing I know, I'm looking at all the email from work, and I'm, you know, da 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 da, and I'm not having any fun anymore. And if you go with somebody, you know, that wants to, you know, have you paying attention and relaxing and, you know, enjoying the environment and not with your nose buried on the LCD monitor, then a laptop can be, you know, verboten. So, but then the good thing about laptops, though, is that they're a place to store your pictures, okay? Because, you know, you can only bring so many memory cards with you. So if you're on a week vacation and you don't want to bring your laptop because you don't want to work, then look at some of the alternatives for picture storage. My favorite, only because it's so ubiquitous, is the iPod. You know, the iPod with the hard drive, such as the iPod Video. There's a 30 gigabyte model and a 60 gigabyte model. These things are great for vacation for all sorts of reasons. First of all, you can bring some music with you. Second, the iPod Video is really great for, you know, putting some television shows and stuff on there. So while you're traveling on the plane or whatever, you know, you have a little something to watch if, you know, the entertainment that's provided isn't really working for you. So, you know, music and video, you have all this stuff with you, and it's the stuff that you want to listen to or the stuff that you want to watch. But the nice thing about it is that if you get this little accessory from Apple called the camera connector, it's just a little adapter that allows you to plug the USB cable from your digital camera or from your USB card reader. And I really like the Belkin 15-in-1 USB 2 card reader writer. And I know that it works with the iPod and the camera connector. Then you can actually offload the pictures from your memory cards onto your iPod, erase your memory cards, and keep shooting. And this is really a very, very convenient way to go. And if you're not shooting RAW, if you're shooting JPEGs on your trip, then you can even view your pictures on the iPod's color screen, and they look really nice. So you can even make little slideshows and, you know, have all sorts of fun. And while you're thinking about iPod accessories and things like that, the iPod Video also has another accessory, they're video cables. They don't take up a whole lot of room, but what they allow you to do is plug your iPod into a RCA jacks on a television, such as in your hotel room, and then you can actually play back your pictures and check them out on the television screen and you know, see them nice and big. And that's really a lot of fun. And you're still technically not carrying a laptop with you because the iPod doesn't do email. It can't surf the web, but you can play with your pictures. So that's a nice backup solution if you don't want to bring your laptop, but you still want to offload pictures from your memory cards. There are other devices. Epson makes a really cool photo viewer that I like. And there are some other solutions also, but I tell you, at the end of the day, the thing that I like about the iPod as a camera accessory while you're on the road is it's something that is fun to use anyway. When you're not on vacation, the iPod is still great for listening to podcasts, for example, such as this one. And you can load up all my podcasts too. I mean, that just dawned on me. You can load up all my podcasts and take a little nap on the plane. But no, the iPod, you know, fits with, you know, the rest of your life, not just when you're on the road. The dedicated photo viewers and hard drive storage devices, such as the one by Epson, they're great and they work well. But I just don't think, you know, they're expensive, and I just don't think that you'll use them all the time the same way that you will your iPod. So if you're looking for a backup solution, a place to offload your memory cards while you're on the road, take a look at the iPod, take a look at the $30 accessory, the camera connector, and then if you really want to get fancy, check out the video cables too. And then that gives you a nice, lightweight solution. Leave the laptop at home and keep everyone happy. Now, I want to talk about bags themselves, and I have a bag strategy that's similar to my camera strategy, in that I like to have one camera bag that everything fits into. But this bag has some very specific requirements. First of all, the camera bag has to fit in the overhead compartment of an airplane. Okay, because you never, all of you know this, you never check your camera bag. Never let those people, never let that camera bag out of your sight. So in my camera bag, I keep all of my camera gear. I keep my iPod, you know, all my sort of valuable electronics and digital photography stuff. And this bag will fit in either the overhead compartment on the plane or underneath the seat in front of me on a plane. Now, obviously, if you're taking a car trip, space isn't as much of an issue, but it's good to have a camera bag that works in all situations so you don't have to be repacking this thing or using a different bag and stuff. So first of all, it's got to be the size that will fit in places. Now, one thing that I've got hooked on lately is a roller camera bag that fits in all these places, but also has wheels and a handle so that I don't necessarily have to carry it all the time. I'm using a LowPro model right now. I actually wrote a review about it, and I'll put that link in the show notes again. So if you missed the review the first time, you can check it out. But I find, you know, I'm really getting hooked on this, and it's a lot easier on my shoulders as I'm schlepping all this other stuff. Now, obviously, the bag has to hold all of your equipment. That's, you know, very important. But, you know, the thing about it is then let's say that you get to your room and, you know, you got all your equipment there safely and everything. And now you want to go out for a little day hike, or you want to go out street shooting for a bit. Or you don't necessarily want to lug this giant bag with you. So what I like to do then is I like to have a smaller bag that I keep accessories and so forth in inside the big bag, sort of like the Chinese box thing, right? And then I can pull that smaller bag out, just put my Digital Rebel in it or in a lens maybe or whatever. And then it's very small and light. And then I can hit the streets or go take a hike or something and not have to lug all of my equipment around with me. And this two-bag approach is a really a good way to go, and I highly advise it. And so make sure that the smaller bag actually fits inside your bigger bag. And, you know, obviously you can put stuff in it so that, you know, you're not wasting too much room. But then that way, when you get to wherever you're going, then you have a nice portable bag to hit the streets with. In terms of goodies not to forget, I'm just going to rattle some off here that I think are, you know, really great to have on the road. First of all, make sure you bring a microfiber cloth so to wipe stuff off with, to wipe off your filters, to wipe off your LCD monitor, to wipe all that stuff off. Get a good microfiber cloth, stick it in your camera bag. If you have a blower, a bulb blower, I think they're pretty handy to have, and especially if you're in dusty conditions where maybe some dust might get inside your camera, having a blower bulb is handy. I must confess, I don't always bring one because, you know, they're a bulb, right? And they take up space. But if you have room for them, sometimes it's good to have one along. Make sure you have Ziploc bags, and make sure you have one big one that your camera will fit completely inside of, and then a couple smaller ones too. Ziploc bags come in handy in all sorts of situations. If you're in a dusty situation, it can protect your camera. If you're out shooting in the cold, you put your camera in the Ziploc bag before you come back inside and let the condensation form on the bag and not your camera. If you get in rainy conditions, the Ziploc bag comes in really handy. They're great for all sorts of stuff. So make sure you have at least one big bag that your camera will fit in, and then a couple smaller ones are really helpful too. Rubber bands are another super useful thing. You can use rubber bands for all sorts of stuff. And I recommend that you have, you know, a good half dozen of them stashed inside your camera bag somewhere. They're good for you name it. You know, rubber bands are photographer's friend. Make sure you have a polarizer with you if you're going to be shooting outdoors and shooting landscapes and stuff like that. Polarizer filter is really the only filter that you need to have. You know, most of the other stuff you can accomplish with the white balance controls inside the camera, but you know, a polarizer really great for saturating the sky, taking the reflection off things, making clouds jump, you know, all that kind of stuff. So stick a polarizer in there also. And if you have a lens hood, I recommend that you bring it. And if you don't want to bring a lens hood or don't have one, then at least have a little piece of cardboard or something that you can hold over your lens to keep the light from bouncing off the front element of your lens. That causes flare, and that lowers your contrast, and a lot of times will make your shot not look as saturated and as crisp. So it's, you know, you want to keep an eye out for light bouncing off the front of your lens, you know, the sun shining into your lens, and a little piece of cardboard can work really nicely for that, that you can hold up and shade the front of your lens while you're shooting. Make sure you have a good camera strap. I mean, if you like the strap that comes with your camera, that's great. Make sure it's a nice wide strap that's long enough and that's comfortable, and that you can sling, you know, over your shoulder, and so you can, like, if you need to shift your camera, you know, to you know, behind you or something while you're walking, so it's not always bouncing against your belly. I think a good camera strap is an accessory worth getting if the camera strap that you have right now isn't really cutting it for you. I also like having little flashlights. I think little flashlights are great. They're handy to have anyway, but they're especially handy for if you find yourself doing some night shooting or shooting at dusk or even just looking for something in your camera bag. Keep your flashlight in the same place at all the time so that you can find it if you need it. But they're really great to have, these little, and they make these really small little micro flashlights now that are really bright, and they're terrific, and they can really make your life a lot easier when you're, you know, out on the road and shooting in, you know, all these different conditions. So I think we pretty much have our equipment together now. I want to talk just a little bit about technique, because there's a couple things that I think are really important while you're out shooting, you know, in these really wonderful locations. The first thing, and I've mentioned this before, but it's worth mentioning it again, is take pictures of signs and placards and things like that. You don't have to bring a notepad. You don't have to take notes. You know, your camera's recording metadata, so you know when you took it and all that sort of stuff. By the way, side note, if you're not using software that allows you to adjust the time zone when you upload your cameras to your cameras, your pictures to your computer, you know, make sure that you reset your date and time if you change time zones so that all your images are time stamped correctly. Put a little star next to that one. But you know, the thing that people forget to do is that, you know, you're shooting digital here. And so, you know, adding a frame or two to the mix here and there to take a picture of a sign, to take a picture of a placard that has information on it. What I like to do, let's say that I'm taking a picture of an old mission. So I'll, you know, shoot my mission shots and, you know, really work the composition and do all that stuff. And then right after I shoot those, then I look for a sign that has as much information on it as I can find, and I'll take some shots of the sign that follow the shots of the actual structure itself. And I always like to do this sort of repetition, you know. Shoot a subject and then find a sign or find something informative. And remember, you can also take pictures of menus. You can take pictures of business cards. You can take pictures of any sort of train tickets, of any sort of stuff that you have that will help you remember or that will provide you information that you might want to add to the metadata later on when you're post-processing the photos. Or if you're doing a slideshow, you know, then it comes in really handy because you're on these whirlwind sort of travel tours and you'll forget stuff. So remember to take pictures of signs and things like that. You'll really, really be glad when you get home. Another tip is remember to shoot high resolution. If you're not shooting RAW, make sure you shoot at high resolution so that you have nice big images to work with, and that if you end up working with a slideshow, you have enough resolution so you can do some zooming in and things like that. High resolution is definitely the way to go. Remember, these are your master negatives, so you want to make sure that you have all the information that that's possible. And another thing is too, vacations are a great time to try new techniques. And if you haven't played with making panoramas, that is, where you shoot a series of shots and then you stitch them together when you get back on your computer. Keep that in mind too, and you might want to try a couple of panoramas of if you got some really nice, beautiful vistas and things like that. So there's a little technique to sort of add to the thing there. And then another thing is make sure you get shots of you. I mean, just because you're the photographer doesn't mean that you have to be anonymous on this trip. And even if you're the only one going on this trip, even if you're traveling alone, make sure that you get some shots of you, even if it's setting the camera up somewhere, putting it on self-timer, and you getting in the shot, do it. Make a commitment that you're going to come away from this trip with at least two or three shots of you in addition to everything else that you shoot. Okay, so are you all excited? Are you ready to go somewhere now? I mean, if you're listening to this on the train on your way to work, I'm probably not doing the best job of motivating you for getting your job done today. You'll probably be daydreaming about Hawaii or South America or something like that. But that's okay. I mean, maybe that'll get you to get something on the books if you don't have something on the books right now. So just to review really quickly, make sure that you bring two cameras if you have them, a compact and then your digital SLR or whatever your quote-unquote serious camera is. Make sure that your bag will fit in all the places that you need it to fit, such as an overhead storage. Make sure that you bring a smaller bag that fits inside your big bag so you can go out day tripping and not have to lug all your stuff around. Don't forget things like Ziplocs and rubber bands and flashlights and all those goodies. Make sure that you have a backup plan for your images so that you can offload them from your memory cards onto an iPod, or bring a bunch of memory cards, although that's not my favorite way to go. But make sure that you have a plan so that you have enough memory storage so that you can take as many pictures as you want. Don't forget your battery chargers. Don't forget extra batteries. If you're going to a country that uses a different type of electricity than what you have at home, make sure that you bring either adapters or converters. And remember, they're different. You only need an adapter if whatever you're using, if your charger accepts both 110 and 220, the charger that you have, then you don't need a converter. You only need an adapter so it actually fits into the wall. If the charger that you have for your stuff doesn't match the electricity where you're going, then you will need a converter too. So make sure you check that out ahead of time. Make sure you have the right configuration, because the last thing that you want to do is end up in a destination where you can't recharge your camera batteries, where you can't recharge your iPod. This is a very, very dire situation. So do your research ahead of time and make sure that you're able to recharge of all of your stuff, no matter where you are. So have your electricity and your battery stuff under control. And then just remember to experiment, remember to shoot signs, remember to get pictures of yourself. And of course, have a great time, right? I mean, that's the really important part. Okay, just a couple little business notes before I sign off here. The slideshow showcase, everything's got to be in by June 15th. And I hope you're working on something. I'm working on mine, and I'm getting really jazzed about it. And next week in the show, I'm going to talk about ways to transfer big files. And for those of you that are entering slideshows, I'll give you some tips on you know, how to get your slideshows to me. But even if you're not entering the showcase, this is handy stuff to know for, you know, moving big files around from one person to another. So remember June 15th, get your slideshows finished up and get them turned in. This is really, really going to be good stuff. And just tune into the site, and I'll keep you posted on everything that's going on. Keep those grab shots coming. I'm having a great time sharing this virtual camera club with all of you, and I hope you're having a good time too. And now think about where you're going to go for vacation and start packing. All right, see you next week. Bye-bye.
Your questions and comments, email them to questions@thedigitalstory.com. For show notes, web blogs, and informative articles, visit www.thedigitalstory.com. We'll see you next time on The Digital Story.